The following is a special presentation of Tony Curry Radio.
Welcome back to another K4 Wins. We got the four K's here. Case Kiefer down there in the bottom left-hand corner, live from Las Vegas, the chief editor of the Las Vegas Sun. Kip Kiefer, the executive director of the Birmingham Racecourse and Casino, now newly acquired by the Porch Creek Indians. They have a location down there in Aruba. We're hoping to not only hit the one here in Birmingham, but also the one in Aruba. We're gonna go on a little trip there for K4 Wins. And Kai Gregory, who's been in the biz for so many years, has done such a wonderful job. And he's our fourth handicapper today. We do a show called K4Wins.com. Go to K4Wins.com, K4Wins.com. Go to our site. It's free. You can subscribe there, get more plays, and we give you plays. And of course, we are just humming and drumming, going through the NBA season, through the NHL season, Major League Baseball season, obviously, is getting ready for its annual break. We'll get into that in a couple minutes. We went through some really interesting over-unders on college football, and we're going to go through a couple more of those coming up on this show that have to do, of course, obviously, with not just SEC play, but with other games as well. And it's going to be interesting because I believe I saw only three or four teams in all of college football that has an over-under of double digits, which, in case, does that sound right to you? Which is amazing to me because I saw Alabama, I saw Texas, I saw Georgia all at 9.5, which you'll probably never see again.
Yeah, I think maybe the week you weren't here, I was saying that there were only two. That was because I had only looked at the major conferences. I forgot about Notre Dame. So I'm almost sure there's three. It's Ohio State, Penn State, Notre Dame. Maybe I'm missing one other.
I've got Oregon here at 10.5 as well.
I don't know. Maybe some other places have that lower, but I would bet Oregon under 10.5 for me if it's anywhere close to a pick 'em. But maybe we're getting ahead of ourselves. But yeah, that seems a little high.
We'll go through some of those games a little bit later on this podcast here. And of course, again, we'll be live on Coastal Sports Network coming up either on Friday or next Tuesday. Just make sure you're looking at your notifications on your phone. We'll let you know when we go live. And of course, when we go live on Coastal, we'll also be live on our Tony Curry Radio YouTube channel for K4 Wins. Let's get into some women's basketball, believe it or not, before we go. I wanted to bring this up, and Kip and I had talked about this earlier in the week in a Kiefer and Curry podcast that we did. But Caitlin Clark, there's no doubt that she has totally transformed women's sports. She's transformed the WNBA. She had a pair of Nike Kobe V Protros that go for about $190. They sold out in seconds. Now, we don't know how many of those shoes there were. There could have been two pairs. There could have been 20,000 pairs. We don't know, but they went on sale yesterday and they sold out in 2 minutes. They're now talking about expansion of the WNBA to three more teams, which is incredible because just two or three years ago, it seemed like it wasn't even going to make it.
Yeah, Cleveland, Detroit, Philadelphia.
And three big markets. And she's also, the voting just came out for the WNBA All-Star Game. She was voted number one in fan ranking, 1,293,536 votes, which is by far the most votes ever in fan voting. But she finished ninth in player voting. She wasn't even the best guard on her own team. So there's obviously a lot of jealousy going on there, and I we're at a gambling show, so I wanted to talk about it because anytime I see an opportunity to make some money, and I don't know how many people are really into the WNBA, I'm assuming Vegas has got a hold on this. Case, I want to start with you right off the bat. What have you seen gambling wise on the WNBA? Is this something you guys talk about from the inside, saying, listen, this is going to be something that's going to be as big as the NBA someday? Is it just starting out, or is there any action at all on it?
Yeah, well, based on you guys' reactions, you guys are probably going to be shocked and not probably looking at me like I'm crazy. But the last 3 years, I've bet the WNBA every day. So
wow, okay.
Yeah, wow. I mean, it's just another thing that you can diversify your portfolio. And to be honest, I know this isn't really the direction you were going on, but I think the product is outstanding now. I cannot believe it because, like, when I in college when I was coming up, I covered some women's basketball and I was just never really into it. I didn't think it was that great. I think that I know it's Kate. I'm not taking away the Caitlin Clark effect. She's certainly got the more eyeballs, but I think if people just actually give it a chance, I mean, the NBA has gotten to a point where these guys are just such freak athletes. Almost like they've broken the game. You know, the threes and dunks, it's so crazy. I really feel like the women's game now has hit an evolution where it's more kind of like how basketball is supposed to be played. And I think the shorter schedule makes for a lot of intensity. That's another thing you've seen with all these Caitlin Clark things. It's just like every game's like the competition's kind of unreal. And they're barking at each other. And I know some people are off-put on that or just more used to seeing that in the men's game. So I'm not saying I'm the huge fan and I'm tuning in every night, but certainly I think the markets are a little soft because despite all this, if you talk to like bookmakers, like the Fever games are taking a ton of action because people love Caitlin Clark, obviously, and they have them up like 2 days in advance. But beyond that, it's still pretty small potatoes as far as how much money it takes. And because of that, I feel like it's an opportunity if you know what you're doing, numerically, mathematically, and you can put good numbers on these. I feel like it's a lot softer market than a lot of these. So, and it's really not that big of a workload because there's right now, this is the biggest the league's ever been. And there's 13 teams. Yeah, 13 teams, I think. I mean, there's the Commissioner's Cup final game tonight, but a lot of times during the week, there's one or two games. So, I mean, it's really like a 20-minute a day thing for me. I sit down and look at the matchups, look at who's out. And make my numbers. And I've never had a losing WNBA season. And this year's been going very well as well. So, probably much to you guys' surprise, I'm kind of all in on the WNBA. And just quickly on Caitlin Clark, I think that's what you asked about. And I went off in another direction. But, I mean, she's been unbelievable this year. I do think jealousy is a huge part of it. However, I don't feel like it's all that different from other sports. I mean, what do we hear? These NBA guys, too, just they're always trashing the next generation. You know, it's 5 years ago. Oh, these guys aren't as good as I are. Oh, the game was so much harder back then. It's the same. I feel like in every sport, it's just magnified in WNBA because of the level she's brought it to. I will say this year, it is pure jealousy, and she has been unbelievable. I mean, she's been out a while, but like if it was MVP voting right now, I'd probably have her third. I think a lot of people would have her second. I will say at this time last year, I was kind of on the other side because she's such a star that I feel like people didn't realize how much it was taking her to acclimate to the game. Like she was really not that good of a player last year. So many turnovers. She started to figure it out by the end of the year. This year though, clearly, I mean, she could do anything now and she could kind of put the WNBA on the back burner. As weird as that sounds, she's such a big star, but she's clearly really dedicated herself to the game and the leap she's made. She's all she's cracked up to be. And, I think she's taken a pretty amazing leap this year. I think it gets lost in all the talk about everything else, at just how well she's playing.
Yeah, numbers are off just a little bit. She's at 18-9-5. I think last year she was pushing 20 and probably close to 10-6. And so it's not far off
but
at all.
Turnovers
a lot. And it was her first year in the league. And the other thing that I think is interesting, and you mentioned it, she's only played 9 of the 16 games.
She's been hurt a lot.
She's been hurt. She doesn't even have enough playing minutes to actually qualify for some of the stats, including assists. And on top of that, she has been getting beaten up. I mean, I think this is the best thing in the world for the sport, the fact that women don't like her, because it's just got more people talking about her. And I think it's great. She's a lot of fun to watch. The other thing I think is you got to be careful, because I mean, we always talk about, and I love the State Farm commercial where she's shooting from the logo. She's only shooting 29.5% from 3-point land. That can't last because she's going to have to get better at that. But again, it's only her second year in the league. So exciting. And I enjoy it because listen, I'm a gambler. I like to gamble on anything. I like to look at anything, and anything starts to get hot, including the WNBA. And obviously books got to love that too, because the more you get to bet on, the better your chance to sort of win some cash. So that's a good stuff. Yeah, go ahead.
Tony, I have to say this. I have to give myself a pat on the back, because even though I'm a Cro-Magnon and have ancient, outdated attitudes, I'm proud that my son is enlightened enough to come out of the closet and acknowledge the WNBA today. Right. I'm taking full responsibility for that.
Man, I mean,
hey,
go ahead.
So I don't know if Tony, you may not even know this. I coached high school for 20 years. 15 of those years, I coached girls basketball.
Wow.
And I'm here to tell you, girls basketball is a better sport than boys basketball from a young age all the way through. Guys care about how they look. Girls care about winning. Mm-hmm. They will do whatever it takes. And even in the WNBA, college is the same way. It is more of a pure sport that was created in the 1890s for basketball girls basketball is more of a pure sport. It's not as much of the one-on-one, get out of my way, let me dunk, no defense. It's a fundamental game, especially high school. No, it's not going to be as fundamentally sound, you know, when you get to the WNBA professional as younger. But I know a lot of people, even when I was growing up, watching my younger sister play basketball, I was like, oh, my God, there's 745 jump balls per quarter in high school girls basketball. That's all they do. But it has changed so much. In my opinion, you know, I got to go and coach, and as a Tennessee fan, I got to go work Pat Summitt's camp. Pat Summitt's camps were more intense and more fundamental than Rick Pitino's camp that I also got to work when I was coaching younger. And it is an amazing, amazing, fundamentally sound sport. And purists that love basketball will, I 100% tell you, women's basketball is better.
I never know what we're going to agree on and disagree on here. I'm shocked Ty and I agree on this. Just fundamentally, it is and I'm not a giant fan. You have me rank my leagues, like it's probably on the fringe of the top 10 among everything. I'm going to pick the NBA every day. But as far as just like fundamental and basketball purism, I totally agree with Ty. And I think if people that, you know, don't like women's sports, if you can just watch a game and get past the women's blockage, I really think people would be impressed with the WNBA as a product.
Right, they had now a good showing with the NCAA this past year down here at the Elite Eight down at the BJCC. It was really fun to get to see some college basketball teams. And I said this to my son, and he was the one that wanted to go see it, and he wants to cover sports, all sports, and what he does at Clemson. But he was like, it's not even more pure, but it's just gotten so damn physical in the NBA. I mean, they're just beating the hell out of each other. I mean, they really are. I mean, just the fact you can stick your ass out back.
Nowhere near as physical it was.
In the
80s and
90s. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, it's almost
NBA,
every.
Yeah, I mean, I've come on. But hey, I apologize for interrupting because this has been on my mind since I saw it this morning. We've got a guy in the NBA, and this is why people may like the WNBA more. We've got a guy in the NBA who, if he misses 12 games next year, is going to make $1 million a game. $1 million a game with SGA signing his 4-year, $285 million deal.
Yep.
Amazing.
If they got the money to pay it.
I've got to tell you, I am enlightened enough where I have attended one WNBA game in the last 5 years. I'm proud to say my younger son, Clayton, insisted we go see the Aces and the Liberty in the WNBA finals a couple of years ago. And one thing that I was struck by was how much better the girls are at the free throw line. They never, ever miss. They have a promotion at the Aces game where it's called if they miss twice, you get a slice. So if somebody on the other team goes to the line and misses both free throws, everybody in the place gets a free slice of pizza. So the drama every time the Liberty player would go to the line was intense, but 99 times what I meant is almost 100% of the time they made the first one and just completely quieted the crowd down. And finally in the fourth quarter, a girl bricked a couple, and on the way out, the line was like all 1,500 people trying to cash in their slice. So that impressed me a lot, that promotion. And just again, from a fundamental standpoint, it's clearly a better game. I find it, you know, I don't know if there's been a star with the kind of magnitude. Supposedly the 3 weeks that Caitlin Clark was out with this quadriceps injury, their ratings on their Saturday games for those 3 weeks went down 55%. So the interest in the league clearly is centered around her, which is kind of unusual. I mean, the NBA's had huge superstars. I guess Steph Curry would be probably the most, or LeBron now, the most visible ones. But the bottom line is there's a lot of things from a marketing standpoint that the WNBA is doing right, and they're really making a tremendous appeal. And the fact that I didn't know how Case was going to answer the question whether he had any betting interest in the WNBA, it's something we've never discussed. So I'm further enlightened today. If Case Kiefer's on it, it must be legit.
Yeah,
to pay this off, because I'm sure people really want us to move on if this gets posted in time. The Commissioner Cup final game is tonight, and I did bet Indiana +7.5. Looks like it's down a little bit now. It's still 6.5 at some major sports books. Caitlin Clark is questionable. I still think it's close to true, like 50-50. And even if she doesn't play, Aaliyah Boston's been playing so well that I feel like they get inside that number. And if she does play, it's crashing to like 4 or 3.5 because that's the Caitlin Clark effect. So I'm on Indiana tonight. I could get destroyed if she doesn't play, but we'll see.
What's hilarious too about women's basketball too and women's sports in general, because we're certainly seeing this with the House versus the NCAA and Title IX, is going to be getting attacked in many different ways based on whether they're going to get paid or not. I love to see how people handle success. And right now the WNBA is giving a lot of success, and quite frankly, they're eating themselves from the inside out because they're hating Caitlin Clark, but it's been really, really good for the sport. Guy, tell everybody how we did in our numbers this past week.
We got 18-9. And then for the month of June, we were 77-42, which is a little dip for us, a little bit below the 65% numbers. But for the year, 555, 292, and 4.
Okay.
We need football.
Yeah, we need football coming up about 7 weeks. It'll be here before you know it. And of course,
baseball's too much of a grind.
I'm glad you brought that up, Kip, because I mean, if you're a gambler, we're all trying to make bankroll and Wimbledon would start. I'm always looking for things to gamble on. Like, what can we bet on? Can we bet on FIFA? I'm tired of betting my next door neighbor whether the robin on the left will fly before the cardinal on the right. I mean, for God's sakes, we're betting on birds. I want to make a little bankroll here a little bit, and I'm trying to figure out where the best place to do that. And obviously we have a guy in Las Vegas, Las Vegas Sun, who can put money on just about anything and is really good at future. So I want to get your thoughts real quick, Case, on we've talked about horse racing. There's all these different things that you can make some bankroll over a little bit. Major League Baseball, the only problem where it gets to this point, where the longer the season goes, the tighter it gets. If I see a team and I think, ooh, this is going to be really good, the price is always way too damn high. Very rarely will I see a team and I'll think it should be about $1.65, $1.75, and it's $1.15. I feel good about getting that route. I had a couple of those yesterday. But man, the prices just get to the point where it seems like almost every game's a 200 game, and I'm just not willing to step out that far.
Yeah, as far as what I'm betting, probably all of the above, everything you mentioned, I'm looking at least a little bit. But yeah, baseball, I mean, that's the tale as old as time, I guess. The market does get tighter as the season gets on. I can't speak for anyone else. I think it depends person to person. I guess the cliche is people say that it's just cooked after the All-Star break and you can't make money after the All-Star break. For me, that really hasn't been the case. I mean, I certainly haven't had a huge day in a while, but I've been chugging away, just betting most of these games, trying to pick off the best numbers, and still definitely returning a profit, but it's been a few weeks since I've had a really big ROI. For me, it doesn't really tail off till kind of like the end of August, September. I feel like I can never stop. I just like part of my routine now for 5 years or however long I've been doing this. I'm still putting numbers every day, but I definitely have traditionally given a little back towards the end of the season. I think you're dead on that the edges get smaller. There's just so much data in baseball and so much, so many trial and error. I mean, every at bat. So definitely the market gets sharper. I think it's a better time to bet early. But yeah, for me, I'm still firing away full steam and planning on winning. But I will say for sure, I've seen the same trend as you. I guess I've been fortunate. Maybe I've gotten lucky, but my tail off doesn't typically come till later in the year. But I'm telling you, I've talked to a lot of big bettors that do this professionally. And there is a sentiment in the industry. Maybe it's just that everyone's preparing for football and putting less time towards it. But yeah, the old talk about baseball is that after the All-Star break, you might as well do something else.
Now, there you go. I think a lot of people kind of feel the same way. And again, maybe after the All-Star break, we are looking forward to college football. And so we just don't have as much interest in it. And certainly the playoffs, Major League Baseball playoffs are always fun to watch because you're talking 5-7 game series and you go game by game, but it's really, really good. Anything in particular, you mentioned all the things that we just talked about, Wimbledon and everything else. How do we make money in Wimbledon?
I'm not a tennis expert. I will tell you, let me call up my futures. He got a bad draw, so I don't love it. But, this is another way you can bet too. This is a thing a lot of people don't talk about, but a big thing to me is, and you've probably taken it from, I guess this is a good example. I think it's just as important to pay attention to the markets as it is, to the actual, oh, I think this guy's going to win. I magically know he's going to win every game. So there was a move like at all the offshore sports. I just happened to look at Wimbledon before it went off. This was unfortunately before the draw, cause this guy got hurt in the draw, but I was looking at like the sharpest offshore sports books, Betcris and Pinnacle. And they just took an avalanche of money on Novak Djokovic, who's pretty clearly behind Carlos Alcaraz and Jannik Sinner at this point, is the third best in the world. But, he was as high as like 8-1 at one point. And he just got totally killed down to, like, I think plus 375 at the sports books that are taking the biggest action. So, you know, when I was looking into the tournament, doing my research, running some numbers, I saw that. And I'm like, well, I'm going to look and see if anywhere in Vegas has better numbers. And sure enough, there's still some 8-1s on Novak Djokovic out there. So on the men's side, I'm on Djokovic 8-1. Unfortunately, then the draw comes and he got placed in the toughest quarter. It looks like he has a real gauntlet to come out of there. But, you know, I kind of just have this sense in the back of my mind that he might be good for one more major. So taking that long shot at that price, we'll see if maybe he can get it done at grass. Obviously, so storied at Wimbledon. Then I think this is like the theme of the show. I didn't see us going here. I think the women's side is way more interesting. I think it's super wide open. We've seen some really crazy numbers get back at the women's Wimbledon over the year. I think, what was it, 2 years ago, the Vondrousova won, and she was like part of the field at a lot of sports books. Mm-hmm. Other sports books, she was like 200, 250 to 1. I mean, grass is just great. The grass season in tennis is way shorter than the others. It makes for a lot more variance. So, you know, a lot of these tournaments, I feel like in the last several years, you're looking at Sabalenka, Iga Swiatek, or Coco Gauff, who I was on in the French Open, by the way. I wish we talked about that before. So I did get a cash on the French Open, but I just took some longer prices on Wimbledon. I believe the shortest lady I took was Rybakina, who's won Wimbledon before. She was like 7-1 a few weeks ago. I think she actually got a good draw and now has gone down. I actually might make her the favorite. Sabalenka is the number one player in the world, probably the best on grass, but her and Rybakina played on grass, I believe, 2 weeks ago. And Sabalenka won, but both her winning sets went to tiebreaker. I mean, it was really just a coin flip. So Rybakina being, if she's still like two or three times longer, this is not something I'm checking every day, so I don't really have updated odds, but if she's like two or three times longer than Sabalenka, I would recommend her. I'm also on a longer shot. I think Maddie Keys at 18-1, another really good American grass player. I feel like I might have met one other girl, but those are the top two. So if you're looking at Wimbledon, I kind of like Rybakina, Keys, and I'm trying to beat the favorites because there's just a lot of variance and a lot of ways we've seen the women's Wimbledon gone. Men's, I ultimately think it's probably still Sinner or Alcaraz, even though I took that shot on Djokovic. But hey, maybe if Djokovic gets out of this quarter, if he's in the final four, there'll probably be still pretty long odds on him. So maybe you take one last whirl with the aging legend as well.
He's amazing.
I wish we were live today because I got Gauff minus five games and minus 1.5 in sets on her noon game versus Yastremska today. Really like that matchup for her. Yastremska has not been doing well and under 19 games in that match also.
All right. Anybody else got anything to add? And then we'll jump into some college football quickly.
Yeah, sorry. I haven't been looking at the matches day by day yet. But I'm glad Kai had something to add there.
All right.
Real quick, maybe we can get Case to comment real fast since we're already in England. What about the Open coming up, Case?
Yeah, Royal Portrush. I mean, I've already bet a bunch of guys. Again, this is just like me picking off prices. It's kind of I'm trying to get it up real quick. It's kind of my usual suspects. I am on the favorite here. I just felt like Scottie Scheffler is playing so well for a while that I couldn't help but lock up a 5-1. I know everyone hates this guy. You've opened a can of worms. I'm probably the absolute worst beat of my life was on Sunday. I'm never going to get over this one. I think Tommy Fleetwood led the last.
You've been telling him all year.
Yeah, completely collapses on 18. I had two different bets. I think it honestly might have been the most I made on a single Gauff bet in my life if he would have won. He collapses on 18. And this is just another one, too, of hubris and just handling things right. I really think I should have hedged because I had him and Russell Henley, who if Keegan Bradley doesn't make his final putt, it's a three-man playoff between Fleetwood, Henley, and Bradley. But I was just kind of cocky all day. And I'm like, I got two of the three. Keegan Bradley's not playing all that well. I don't need to play any back on Keegan Bradley. And man, I regret that because, I mean, I should have at least put a little bit on Keegan Bradley and I would have been good there. But that all brings me to, I know no one likes betting the guy and he chokes all the time, but I think there's still some Tommy Fleetwood 30-1 out there for the Open Championship. And the guy, he's really playing like the third or fourth best player in the world. He just can't get it done on Sunday. I know everyone buys into that narrative, but he's won a lot in Europe. So it's America where he's never won. He's like the best golfer in PGA Tour history not to have a win, but he's won, I think, 7 or 8 times on the DP World Tour. He's played well at Royal Portrush. So I feel like he's not going to be popular when you see the list of sports books, guys that are getting bet the most. I don't feel like he's going to be up there because people say, oh, he just can't win. He's going to win at some point. Right now, Tommy Fleetwood, I still have some interest in.
All right, let's touch some college football here. I got several over-unders on win totals for the season. If you you listen to our last podcast, which was live. And of course, you can also find it on Tony Curry Radio. It's up in infamy forever on our podcast. We're available in every major industry out there. And thanks to 100,000 folks who've downloaded the TKR app and listened to all of our shows live, which are also up on the YouTube channel as well. We got some schools that are not SEC. And we mentioned, I'm sitting here looking at four teams that are double digit win totals. And you mentioned Penn State, Ohio State, Notre Dame, and Oregon. And Oregon was the fourth one. Let's start with Penn State, 10.5. K, start there.
I'll say, first of all, if you caught our SEC one last week, you got much more confident probably in me because I had a spreadsheet right here. I was looking at my actual numbers. I'm pretty certain what I did SEC is what I'm doing. I still have more work to do on all the other conferences. I haven't done the actual numbers yet. So this is really off the cuff. I have done a little bit of work. I know the teams. I think Penn State's roster is absolutely loaded. I don't know if I would take any set of coordinators in the country over them, regardless of what you think of James Franklin, which I'm kind of in the middle. I mean, I don't think he's like an elite coach, but I don't think he's awful either. It's tough for me to see them losing twice. I think this looks like an 11-1 to me. I know it's high juice at 10.5, so probably not something I bet. I did bet them to win the Big Ten. I believe it. 4 or 5 to 1. That's come way down now because I've said this on the show before. It's scaring me how hyped they are. But I mean, on paper, they look pretty darn good. They made the Final Four last year and arguably were the better team in the Final Four. They had a lot of blowout wins that everyone discounted. Oh, whoever they blow out, they suck. But it's, I'm in on the Penn State hype train for better or worse. I think they go 11-1. And I saw there were some sports books with them like -200 to make the playoffs. I know people don't like -200, but it would just take an absolute collapse for them not to make. I mean, James Franklin's getting fired if they don't make the playoffs. They're going to be in the playoffs, no doubt. I think 10-2 is kind of the floor to me.
Kip, I know how much you love the Big Ten. What's your thoughts?
Oh, just I can't wait for Big Ten football. You know, Penn State. I've glanced at the schedule. And Case probably already knows this, but I think I know they're at Ohio State, and aren't they at Iowa? Which is as I said last show we did. I look at possible. I don't really go down and go, okay, that's a win, that's a win, that's a win, that's a loss. I look at vulnerable spots, and I think any road game. If I'm not mistaken, I think they're at Iowa and at Indiana, who I don't have much respect for, but, you know, it's really tough, to take a team, 10.5 because, you know, they really have so little margin for error. Yep. So, I don't know. I would have, if you forced me to play right now, and I haven't really scrutinized the out of the SEC schedules as much, but I think I would be inclined to say, you know, 10-2 is more likely, which would make them under.
Another team that's really interesting at a 10.5 and Notre Dame kind. I know that we have had several shows here, and I know how much you love his coach. I mean, you like this coach a lot more than the last one they had, who's obviously at LSU. But your thoughts on the Notre Dame Fighting Irish? I'm finding myself as a Catholic, it's a little easier to pull for them this year just because I like their coaching staff.
I literally looked at everything. I'm like these guys and preface it with that. I will say that, you know, big game James Franklin is he's an okay coach unless it's a big, big game. And then he is. But what's the guy's name the football coach of the water boy. You know, when you see him drinking in the day. James Franklin doing in big games. You know, Notre Dame's schedule, I think, is pretty weak. If Brian Kelly was there, I would say under, you know, all day long. I do think that they have a much better coach, head coach now, all around in every single aspect, including as a person. And so I would lean on the over. But again, all these predictions at this point, I think, are you know, you put them in, you get the numbers like Case has said. You know, time and time again, beat the market and get the great numbers. I'm just scared to death this early in the season because you see things like what's happening with the BYU quarterback who's now, you know, just came out this week. He's going to transfer because he's going to probably be suspended 7 games. I was loving BYU's season until that information came out.
Yeah. And again, it's you pull the trigger on it, and sometimes it's going to help you, and sometimes it's going to bite you in the ass.
And there are injuries. Yeah. I mean, injuries in camp are huge. I know Case had a futures bet last year on the Minnesota rookie quarterback, and he never took a snap.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's treacherous territory.
It really is. But again, if you can get on it early and you feel good about it, then you got it in your bank and you feel pretty good. There are four other teams I wanted to mention that just kind of sparked my interest a little bit. I want to go around the corner here. I'm going to start with Case real quick. Miami 9.5.
I think I mentioned this another time, but I really want to see what the reports are on Carson Beck. If I mean, suppose by all reports, this injury was pretty severe. So, if he's back to himself, I feel like at this point he's taken so much heat, he's kind of underrated. He's still one of the better quarterbacks in the nation. I just don't know how he's going to recover from this. If he's okay, if he's okay, I think they can go over it, but I'll go under just for right now. I'm in a wait and see mode with them. I will say I feel like the only person, and this is really informed money too. I mean, the most popular team, I think, in the futures market has been Clemson. I mean, they've taken a ton of money. They opened like 30-1 to win the national championship. Now they're like 10-1. They have the most returning production. Their over has just gotten absolutely steamed. I'm still kind of a skeptic. So I'd like to pivot and try to take some longer odds of someone in the ACC. At Miami, talent-wise, it seemed like to be that team. But the Beck shoulder just scares me a little bit.
Kai, let's go with Miami, and then we'll also sprinkle in some Clemson. My son goes there, 9.5.
Miami under, Clemson under.
Yeah.
Under them both? And Kip, you kind of got to feel away?
Well, I think the key for Miami is Cam Ward made so many plays with his feet last year, and I'm not just talking about scrambles and runs. I'm talking about keeping plays alive and making big throws downfield. Carson Beck does not have that element in his game. So I'm wondering how short up the Miami offensive line was, because Cam Ward won the Heisman Trophy for a reason last year. He just was a huge playmaker, and Carson Beck, Miami's going to have to kind of change their whole style. And I don't know if that's going to happen in the course of one off season, because he's more of a drop back guy. Every once in a while he can pull it down and surprise you, but they are going a whole different direction. And I just don't know if that coaching staff has the chops to overhaul their system. If they're expecting Carson Beck to be Cam Ward, they're in for a disappointing under the 9.5 by a significant margin season.
Case, can Bill Belichick win more than 7.5 ball games at North Carolina?
Oh man, ACC, I guess, where all the action has been, because I think
it's probably one of the most interesting leagues going in the offseason for sure.
Yeah. Everyone was just pounding the under. I haven't done a lot of work on them yet. Obviously, I've heard about the sideshow. I would certainly think, even if Belichick is as sharp as he once was, and there's evidence to the contrary, I still think he might need a year or two to get to get it together. So I would I haven't bet it, but especially talking to people and seeing how popular it's been, I would be a strong lean to the under.
Remember, though, on Belichick, he preached his entire career in the NFL with the Patriots and even the bad teams he coached. No distractions. Absolutely no distractions. It's football 24/7. Now Bill Belichick is a professional distraction.
Oh, my gosh.
I can't imagine him being successful this year.
But that's a distraction that even the team doesn't mind having around the locker room, for sure.
Yeah, but they're snickering about it, I promise you.
Oh, well, he's getting the last laugh. That's for sure.
I guess. But he looks like a national laughing stock. And so if that's what he wanted to achieve, he has been spectacularly successful.
No doubt. Kai, your thoughts on North Carolina? Because a lot of people are taking an interest in it.
I think the hoodie goes under.
The hoodie goes under. Finally, and I get a lot of questions because I do a couple of UAB shows, but the UAB Blazers sitting there at 4.5. I know Trent Dilfer's given his third year. He's got to win a bowl game, period, or he's got at least going to go to a bowl game in order to keep his record alive. And I was talking to Mark. I actually think that if he wins six games and he loses a bowl game, that puts them in a tighter spot, because UAB, believe it or not, is not used to only winning six or seven bowl games in a year, particularly when they've just joined the AAC a couple of years earlier. But 4.5, just based on the schedule, I haven't done enough research on. A lot of people are asking me about it. I want to take the overs because I like Trent Dilfer. I think he's a good family guy, and I'm rooting for him, but I'm not sure 4.5 is not the number that's right where it needs to be. Kip, let's go start with you.
Well, I know they're, I haven't really looked at their schedule. The AAC is a pretty competitive league, and I know one of their out of conference games is at Tennessee. Mm-hmm. So I really don't like their chances at Rocky Top. So, you know, a 500 schedule in the AAC would be pretty good, but that's going to still put them barely over the number. You know, you would think they could win five games, but really is 5-7 good enough to keep Trent's job? I mean, it was an absolute dumpster fire last year.
Yeah, and but be well, and something that he had to do obviously is fire pretty much his entire defensive staff, and then of course he lost his quarterback halfway through the season as well, and of course he's got Kitna coming back. Case, your thoughts?
I got to be honest, I have no idea on the group of five. I haven't done any work. I'm looking forward to it. I love it normally. I'm not as much looking forward to it this year just because all these rosters, I mean, there's such huge turnovers. I mean, there's guys leaving for coordinator positions. Everyone that shows any ounce of ability now in the smaller conferences is getting gobbled up by the big program. So I think there's going to be some dramatic turnarounds, some wild finishes in these group of five conferences. I think you're going to see big win swings. And just based on you guys having some ties to the UAB program, I'll be positive this day and say over, but that is based on absolutely nothing. I've done no work on it.
Kai, September, go ahead.
Real quick for both Kai and Case and you, Tony, I mean, what Case just said, you know, sometimes if you're handicapping a horse race and you don't like the favorites, sometimes you hold your nose and say, well, somebody's got to win. Mm-hmm. Is there any, and I'm sure Case with being so numbers based, but as just an observer who goes by the eye test a lot, is there any merit in looking at a situation like a group of teams in one of these group of five conferences and saying, I don't think the top team, I think the changes that have been made make them vulnerable. Is it worth throwing a few dollars at some teams that you really aren't that high on because somebody has to win some games?
Good question. Case?
I think absolutely. I'm going to be targeting some longer shots in those conferences. I haven't done any work on it yet. So I'm not 100% sure who, but and maybe I'll end up eating my words and liking some of the favorites. I do know Memphis looks pretty good in the AAC, so maybe the AAC is not the best example. But again, I've done no work. I think for sure I will have some longer shot bets in the group of five conferences.
UAB will have Memphis down there, protect the stadium on October 18th. September 10th, I'm in Tennessee hosting your UAB Blazers. Give me the opening line on that game, Kai, and then tell me, does UAB have a chance of going over 4.5?
Is that the third game of the season for Tennessee?
I believe so.
The fourth, I think. Georgia's the third game.
Yeah, after Georgia.
It's the fourth game for UAB as well.
So it's probably gonna be somewhere around 23.5. And if it's the week after Georgia, take Tennessee.
I think
after they get beat by Georgia.
I could be wrong. I just think with the chasm I mentioned between those big schools and Tulsa, I think it'll be even higher than that. And my first reaction would be just lay it.
Yeah. And I think you're probably right. And again, for Trent Dilfer, good guy, came from a high school. I know this is not the trajectory of his coaching career and what he wanted to see happen. Because if he can't get it done at UAB, which had a lot of success, obviously going into his first season a couple of years ago, he was hoping to take this to another round, and no one's even touched what Bill Clark did with that program since 2017. So great stuff. All right, we'll be back again maybe Friday. Make sure you check out your notifications. We'll have everything notified. Our YouTube channel for Tony Curry Radio, not to mention, of course, K4Wins. Just go to K4Wins on our YouTube channel. You can check out when we're live, and of course, check out all of our podcasts, including wherever our podcasts are available. We're up on every major industry out there with your TKR. And on top of that, the Coastal Sports Network. We want to thank those fine folks, Angel, and of course, Pete, and all those wonderful guys letting us be part of their big network as well. Until then, guys, we only have 7 weeks of college football. Hang in there.
We're going to try. Pirates are hot. Guardians are not. That's my baseball nugget for the weekend.
And check out K4Wins.com for our baseball picks tonight, baby. Get after it. Thank you, gentlemen. I appreciate you.
All right, fellas.
This has been a special presentation of Tony Curry Radio.